The sicha we're learning this week is a sicha of Shabbos Parshas Tazria Mitzoyra Tov Shin Nun Aleph. It can be found in Sefer HaSichas Tov Shin Nun Aleph, Chelik Beis, page 490. Just want to point out that this is a sicha that came very shortly, just over a week after the very famous sicha of Chof Ches Nissen Tov Shin Nun Aleph, the sicha in which the Rebbe said, Tut al tzvosir kent, do whatever you can to bring Moshiach. In fact, in the very beginning of this sicha, the Rebbe seems to quite clearly be referencing to that sicha. And in this particular sicha, the Rebbe is giving us some very important hayrois of what it is that in fact we can do to bring Moshiach now. So the Rebbe starts off in Seif Aleph, in continuation to that which has been discussed and emphasized very, very much recently, Mamash, regarding the absolute need in every single Yid getting involved to do whatever he can to bring Moshiach Tzedkeinu B'Poyel Mamash, take it from Yad Mamash. And this again, of course, is the Sicha of Chof Ches Nisan, as is pointed out in the Ha'aral over here, as well as the Sicha of Shabbos Parsha Shmini, which came just a day or 2 days after the Sicha of Chof Ches Nisan, in which the Rebbe makes this point also very clear, that we need to, each and every one of us, do whatever we can to bring Moshiach. Says the Rebbe, because in these very, very days, with the end of Chodesh Nisan of the year of Hoya Tehei Shnas Arenu Neflois, that means in the very last few days of Chodesh Nisan, which, of course, Chof Ches Nisan is part of that. So in the very last days of Chodesh Nisan is Kolu Kol HaKitzin, all the time frames, all the limits are up. And the Rebbe says over here, both the Ketz HaYomim, the Ketz HaYomin. Without getting into much detail right now, but regarding the concept of the Ketz, of the end of days, there's two different expressions in Tanakh. One is called Ketz HaYomim, with a mem at the end, the other one is Ketz HaYomin with a nun at the end, and at different places in Chassidus it explains how each one of these represent and signify another level in the Ketz. But at these days where Mamish finished all of these Ketz and Kipshutei Mamish in the most literal sense, and therefore surely immediately Moshiach Tzedkeinu is coming, and so that each and every one of us could point with our fingers and say, Hine zeh melech ha-Moshiach bo, behold, here comes Moshiach, and we would be able to say that he had already come in the past tense, the moment before this one. So in connection to all of this, we need to explain the specific emphasis about the inyan of the Gula, and what each and every one of us could do about bringing the Gula, and how all of this is brought out in the various different things connected with this Shabbos Kodesh. First and foremost, the matters of Torah, which are connected specifically to the Shabbos, that is the Parshas HaShavua, including the Parsha that we're going to start reading by Mincha, as well as the Pirkei Avos of the Shabbos, also connecting it to the general time, both as far as the month is concerned, as well as the days of Sfira, as all of this will be explained later. The Rebbe starts off in Siyim Beis explaining the connection of the Parshas HaShavua, Parshias Tazria and Mitzoyra, how this specifically emphasizes the inyan of the Gula. So the Rebbe starts off, what does Parshas Tazria speak about? The Parsha starts off, Isha ki Tazria v'yolda Zohar, a woman that will conceive and give birth to a Zohar, to a boy, to a male. So it's known that the whole concept of giving birth v'yolda is a hint to the idea of the Gula, as the Pasuk says, Yoldo Tzion es boneva. Tzion gave birth to her children, a reference to the time of the Gula. Furthermore, giving birth to a boy, to a male, represents the strength of the Gula. The Gula mitis vashleima, the everlasting and eternal Gula, after which there will be no Golus, is represented by the idea of a Zohar, a concept of strength. Similar to what says regarding the song that will be sung, as opposed to Shirois that were in the past. So by Moshiach Tzedkeinu, it's going to be Shir Chadosh in the masculine term, Lashon Zachar, as opposed to Shiro Chadasha. In a similar way over here, V'yolda Zachar, giving birth to a boy, is a hint on the birth, on the Hizgalus, on the revelation of the Neshama of Mashiach, which Mashiach himself comes from a very, very high level, known as the Alma Dithura, the masculine world. In other words, a very high and great and strong world. So we have over here immediately a remez to the Gula. More specifically, says the Rebbe, the words Isha Ki Sazriya, woman that will conceive, is referring to the general avoda of Yidden. Yidden are called the Isha, Kavayochel, so to speak, the wife of Hashem. So in the time of Golos, the avoda of a Yid is compared to Tazriya, to sowing, to planting. As in another pasuk, Uzrati Liboret, the Eibishter says, I've planted the Yidden in the Eretz, in the ground, as well as another pasuk, Haboyim Yashrish Yaakov, the Yaakov takes root, like roots in the ground. So the Avoido, Yidden and Golas is like planting and sowing. Sazriya, the Isha, the woman, the Yidden, are being Mazriya, are sowing, and through our Avoido, throughout the whole time of Golos, Isha Ki Sazriya, then what happens immediately? Following that, without any interruption, comes what grows out, the Tzmicha, the Yotzei Tzuporach Yisroel, as the pasuk goes on in the pasuk that we just mentioned, Aboyim Yashrish Yaakov, that the Yidden flourish and blossom. But in this context, Isha Ki Sazriya V'yolda Zachar, through the Avoda of the Yidden, what comes out is immediately the Geula Amitis V'Ashleimah through Mashiach Tzidkenu, a Geula after which there is no Golus, hinted in the words V'yolda Zachar. So to summarize, Isha Ki Sazriya is the Yidden doing their Avoda in the time of Golus. What comes out? V'yolda Zachar. What comes out is the Geula and Mashiach. So that's as far as Parshas Tazriya is concerned. Parshas Metzora, the Gemara says, the Gemara asks, what is the name of Mashiach? The Gemara mentions a number of different things, and amongst them, one of the things that the Gemara there is discussing and says, Chivra de Bei Rebbe Shloi. The name of Mashiach is the Chivra. Chivra literally means the white one, the Metzora, from the household of Rebbe. What does a Metzora have anything to do with Mashiach and the name of Mashiach? So the Gemara says, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, Achin kol yeinu unasa. Speaking about Mashiach, it says that he carries our illness, umachliveinu simlom, and he carries our pain, v'anachnu chashavnu anagua muke elikim umuna. We consider him, Mashiach, as plagued, as beaten by the Eibishter, oppressed. But really, what is it about? He's carrying our sins, our Averis, our Tzaris. The Gemara also says, my Simne, in a famous story with Eliyahu Hanavi describing where Mashiach could be found. Well, the point of the story that's relevant over here is that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was asked Eliyahu Hanavi how he could identify Mashiach, so he says, Yosef ben Yaniye is sitting amongst the poor people, Soiv le'aloyim, those that are suffering from all these illnesses. Minugoyim, as Rashi explains over there, that they are all also have plagued with tzaras, and he himself has the same thing, as the same pasuk that we just brought, v'hu mechol mipshenu, that he's paying because of our transgressions, because of our sins. And the pasuk of Chol Yeinu, who knows that he carries our illness. So what's the Gemara saying over here? That there's a special connection between Mashiach being called a Metzora. More specifically, in the context of the parsha, what does the pasuk say? Zois tiyet toiras ha-Metzora b'yoyim tarasit. This will be the laws of the Metzora when he becomes pure. In fact, many people have a minig not to call the parsha by the name Metzora, but the parsha of Tahara. So what does this all mean? Metzora represents how Mashiach is in the Golos, that even though Mashiach is such a perfect person, as the pasuk says, Yaskil Avdi Yorum V'nisa V'gavamoid, how great and intellectual and high and uplifted he's going to be, yet he's suffering because of all the tzoras of galus. So that's what the mitzoyra represents. What does it mean, b'yoyim ta'arasi, the day becomes pure? When the mitzoyra is becoming pure from the tzoras, this is referring to Mashiach, when he reveals himself, takes out the B'nai Yisrael, b'g'ulah ha'amitiz v'ashlema. So again, both in Parshas Tazuria, we have the idea of Yidden doing their work, and v'yolda zohar Mashiach, g'ulah coming out. Parshas Mitzoyra is again referring to Mashiach, b'yoyim ta'arasi, when he's finally pure of the tzoras, and we have the g'ulah. The Rebbe asks in Sif Gimel, we need to understand. Number one, the connection between the two parshas, Tazria and Mitzoyra, which often they are read together, as this year. The question is, if we look at the names of the parshas, Tazria and Mitzoyra, they seem to be opposites. Tazria is the idea of conceiving, the idea of planting and growth, etc. On its own is connected to the whole idea of birth, as the pasuk says, Isha ki Tazria v'yolda zachar. So there is the Tazria, the sowing, or the conception, and then immediately there's a birth. It's all about Gula. On the other hand, Mitzoyra, on its own, without the Tahara, Mitzoyra itself represents something the opposite of purity. You need to go ahead and do something to purify the Mitzoyra. But the word Mitzoyra itself, the idea of Mitzoyra itself, seemingly is representing ghosts, the pain of ghosts. So how do you put these two parshis together? Tazuria, meaning Gula, really, and Mitzoyra, in a sense, meaning Golos, or Mashiach in the time of Golos, as we said before. Furthermore, the Rebbe says, number two, and this is even more important, if we look at the sequence of the parshis, first Tazria, then Mitzoyra, the question is, if we have Tazria, that means we have already the Ge'ula, and a Zohar, a Ge'ula, to which there is no Golos, how does it now make sense to say that I have Mitzoyra, which is a concept associated with Golos? The Rebbe asks point number three. Within each one of these parshas itself, we really need to understand how the name of the parsha connects with and reflects the point of the parsha. Each one really is going to seem to be saying the opposite of the parsha. That is, Parshas Tazria, we said the name of the parsha represents Gula. Isha ki Tazria v'yolda, she's conceiving and having a child. But most of the parsha is actually speaking about the dinim of tzaras, which we just explained. Tzaras is about golos. So the name of the parsha is Gula Tazria, whereas most of the parsha is speaking about golos, tzaras. In Parshas Mitzoyra, the opposite is true. The name of the parsha, as it's called in Torah, Mitzoyra, is golos, whereas most of the parsha is speaking about how the Mitzoyra is purified, which that represents Gula. So the name of the parsha is Golos, and the parsha is about Gula. The question is, if the name of the parsha is meant to express and emphasize what the parsha is about, it would have been l'cha'oira, seemingly more appropriate, to the parsha that speaks about Tzoras, that is Parshas Tazuria, the idea that it speaks about Golos. It's this parsha, the first parsha, that should have been called Mitzoyra. Where is the second parsha, which is mainly speaking about the purification of the Mitzoyra, which we translated as Gula? If anything, that's the parsha that should be called Tazria, which represents a concept of giving birth, of new growth, etc. And finally, question number four, regarding the name of Mashiach. If Mashiach is all about being the redeemer of the Yidden, why is it that we emphasize in his name, and again, a name represents what he's all about? Why do we call him by the name Mitzoyra, which is, in other words, saying that we're focusing more on the Golos aspect rather than focusing on the Geula aspect within Mashiach? In order to understand this, the Rebbe says in Siyuv Dalet, we're going to have a closer look on the whole idea of Negoyim, the whole idea of Tzaras. We're going to explain it, Alpich Siddhis, how it really represents a very, very high level. On the pasuk Adam ki yiyeh b'or b'sori, that a person that will have the skin of his flesh, a spot of tzaras, etc., it's explained in Likutei Torah that the word Adam, when it says a man over here, is actually representing someone that's at a very, very high level, on a perfect level. When we speak about this perfect person, that basically has fixed up all of his actions. It's still possible that something, a little minute thing, in so to speak, the most external parts of his existence wasn't completely elevated yet, wasn't completely refined yet. And there's some sort of soilus, some sort of waste, some sort of negativity on a very external level left over. And this causes signs of the gashmius of his flesh. And that's what Nagoyim, that's what Saras is all about. Because we're speaking about a person that in the ruchnius and his avodas Hashem had taken care of basically of all of his actions, basically refined all the bad from the good, from both from his body and from his nefesh. It's only as if a little bit of waste at the very edge of his existence, what's called the edge of his garments, was not refined yet, that little bit, and therefore an external sign, only on the external part of the person, on his skin, is there, representing that there's something little that he still needs to take care of. The Rebbe says we can explain this further by looking carefully at the words Adam ki yiyeh b'or b'sorei l'negat tzaras. First of all, it says, where is the spot b'or b'sorei, on the skin of his flesh? That means to say that not only isn't this blemish affecting the essence, the very essence of the person, the inside of the person, and his veins, and all of these things, rather really, this spot is not even shayach to the bosar, not even to the flesh of the person. These are things that are changed and are affected by the person's eating and drinking that become part of his flesh and blood. So even that is also still not affected by this little minute little thing that a person still needs to take care of. Rather, what is affected? Only oyer basari, not his flesh, not his basar, but only the skin over his flesh. That means it's something surrounding and outside of his flesh. Furthermore, what does the pasuk say about the spot? Adon ki yiyeh b'or b'sorei. If it will happen on the skin of his flesh that he has this spot. That means it's not a regular thing. It's not a common thing. It's something unusual that occurred. Furthermore, the pasuk says negat soras. The word negat could also be, besides meaning an affliction, etc., could also be from the lashon of negia, which means just a touch. In other words, even this negative thing that we said is not really affecting his essence, only his chitzonius. Even that is not really part of his chitzonius, part of his skin. It's only as if something that touched him, but really not part of himself. So what are we saying? In other words, that we're speaking about a person that has this negat saras. We're speaking about a person that's really on a very, very high level. There's just something very, very external and little that affects him that he needs to take care of, that he needs to fix up. Furthermore, says the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe says, l'kutei Torah, really, these level of these negoim, of these spots, of these afflictions, are really a very, very high ruchniyistic level. Which is first of all seen by the fact that the person actually doesn't become tummy automatically when these spots appear. It's only once the kohen comes along and says he's tummy. But as long as the kohen didn't say he's tummy, these negoim are not in any way tummy whatsoever. In fact, they represent a very, very high spiritual oib, spiritual energy, but they are called dinokashia of kedusha. In other words, it's a matter of gvurois, it's a matter of severity and harshness, but within kedusha, still some level of kedusha, a very high level, which as we'll soon see, some negativity can come out of it, but in the meantime, it actually is still a very high and powerful level of kedusha. And as the Rebbe will soon explain. Says the Rebbe in Sif Hei, these two inyonim, these two ideas, that on the one hand, these spots represent only some sort of little inyon that the person needs to take care of, something very, very external. On the one hand, still something negative at the end of the day. On the other hand, we're saying they represent very, very high oiris, very great energies. Now, that seems to be two opposites. One is saying there's something negative, even as minute as it may be, on the other hand, you're saying it's very great oiris, are really dependent on each other. That is, Since these negoyim, since these spots are in essence something very, very high, therefore, even if something negative ends up coming out of it, through something called yinikas achitzoinim, that the klipois end up getting some of this energy, it ends up in the wrong place, as the Rebbe will soon give some examples for that. It ends up being something very external, something very minute, something, as we said before, just like a little touch, only in the external garments. And therefore, the Rebbe explains, how do we fix this up? How does the Metzoyda become pure? It's not like we have to introduce something new completely, since in essence, we're actually speaking about something that's coming from a very, very high source. So what we need to do is to reveal what are these negoyim, what are these spots really all about, to reveal how they're in essence such great oiros. And then it will be transformed. We'll see the real thing, what it's all about. This is hinted in the words, Zois ti toiras ha-metzoyra, this will be the law of the metzoyra, b'yoyim toharos, literally on the day that he becomes pure. But we could also explain that it means that how does he become toharos, how does he become pure? Through yoyim. Yoyim representing light, revelation, as in the pasuk Vayikra Elokim lo'or yoyim. In other words, when you reveal what these energies are really all about, what these spots are really about, that they're really such high and great oinois, that automatically negates all of the klipois. That automatically gets rid of any sort of negativity, even in a chitzoyinistic way. And in that way, the Metzoyra becomes pure. To explain this further, the Rebbe says it's Evav. The whole reason why there could be a situation where klipois might be receiving some of this energy to the extent that the person ends up being the opposite of Toyer in a revealed way. Coming from these great oiros, if he's speaking about something so high and so great, how do you end up with something so negative? The reason is because you have such great oiros, such great energies that can't actually be contained within the vessels, within the kelim. To use the terminology of Chassidus, you have something called oiros the toyu. The world of toyu is a world where there are tremendously high, great energies, but it cannot come down or clone itself into the kelim, into the vessels of the world of tikkun, the world of atzilus, etc., the lower worlds, which are more limited. Based on all of this, because of these high oiros, eventually there was something called shviras hakelim. It was too much oir, so there was something called the shviras hakelim, where these vessels broke, as it were, and eventually all sorts of negativity came because of that. To explain this in a person's avoda, in his service to the Yimshter, when a person has this very, very great, intense energy, an energy that doesn't come down into a keli, into a vessel, what this brings out by a person is something called rotsui, an idea of klois hanefesh, a feeling of a tremendous yearning to go get close to the Eibishter, to the extent where the neshama is ready to leave the body. The neshama is sort of getting removed from these kelim, from the vessels, from the body, that it should not come downwards, shine downwards, rather wanting to go higher and higher and closer to Hashem. The problem, however, is when a person is just focusing on going higher and higher and removing himself from what his job is down here in this world, from this there could be something called yinikas achitzoinim. The klipois could also get involved and start getting their heights. That is, the idea of shuv, which is the opposite of rotzi, would mean that the person is getting involved and doing inyonim of kedusha in this world. In the context of what the Rebbe is speaking about over here, the kelim, the vessels, would be a person being involved in saying oisius of Torah, of tefillah, oisius of kedusha. Those are the kelim, those are the vessels to hold this great oir. But when a person is just getting all excited and not actually internalizing and taking these oiros and doing something with it, he only has this rotzi, then something negative could come out called yinikas achitzoinim. An example that Rebbe gives. A person is all excited in davening, a great fire, a great rotzi, a great kloisan efesh. But if he doesn't translate that after his davening, sitting down and learning some Torah, then what could end up with all of that excitement and fire is that it could end up turning out and translating itself into things as anger, as bearing grudges, and other things like that. And from that could go further to become a yesh, that the person should feel himself as a separate entity outside of Hashem, haughtiness, etc., etc. So again, to summarize, if a person only has the idea of rotzis, like the idea of oiris to toyu, just these great energies, but if you don't actually do anything with it, bringing it down into a keli, into something that can hold on to it, then it could end up in something very negative. And therefore, the eights are the advices. The Razal tell us, im rotz limcha, shuv le'echod. Your heart is running, excited, ablaze. Shuv le'echod, return to echod. What does that mean? After the rotzui, once you have all of this excitement, there needs to be a concept of shuv, of returning, which is a concept of bitul. What does this mean, inyan of bitul? The Rebbe explains that a person feels himself, rather than doesn't feel himself, he feels that he's absolutely no metzius, almost like a stone, like a silent stone. The example for this would be like a person standing, a servant standing in front of the king. When he's standing right in front of the king, he has absolutely no koyach left. He's like non-existent. He's completely bottled, completely nullified. And dafka because of the bitul, he recognizes that there's a job to be done. What does the Eibishter want from me? The Eibishter wants that I should get that into the kelim. I should get involved in learning the Torah or doing the mitzvah or whatever it is. Not just stay with this high, great excitement. And it is dafka through this that the Eibishter's purpose in creating the world, the Dira B'Tachleinim, is fulfilled. So what we have from this is that the shuv, this return that comes after the Ratzui, is to take those great high oiros, which on their own might be higher than the kelim. These oiros are more an idea of rotzi, of getting you all excited, of leaving this world. But instead you take these same oiros, these same energies, and it's about bringing them into the kelim. That's what shuv is all about. How do you do this? How do you manage to sort of combine these two opposite modes together, rotzi and shuv? Or also known as ha'alo and amshacha, going up and coming down. Or, in a broader sense, this is really what chesed and gevurah is all about. It's also these two opposite modes. In order to do this, you need something that's higher than both of them together. And that is the sphere called tiferes, which causes a blend between the chesed and gevurah because it comes from a higher place. It comes from keser, which is even higher than the whole seder ishtalshelus. That could put together these two opposite modes of chesed and gevurah, or the two modes of ha'alah and amshacha, going upwards or coming down, or rotzi and shuv. The idea being that you're taking these very, very high, great oiros, which are higher than the kelim, and they too should be able to come down into the kelim. So the Rebbe, this is the pshat of what's happening by the mitzvah. When we speak about the taras ha-mitzvah, the purification of the mitzvah, we said zois ti et toiras ha-mitzvah beyoim torasoi. This is the law, this is the Torah of the mitzvah when it becomes pure. Why do we use the expression toiras ha-mitzvah? Why don't we say taras ha-mitzvah, the purification of the mitzvah? What we're trying to say over here is the way to fix up the issue with the mitzvah is through Torah. Because first of all, the Rebbe explains the whole idea of the way Torah needs to be learned is with bitul. As we say in davening, v'nafshi ka'ofer la'koil tiyya, when our souls are like dust, when we feel ourselves humble and small, psach libi b'seira sa'el, then we are a vessel for the Torah. What is Torah? Torah is this level that we were speaking about, something that's higher than ishtalshelus. This concept of tiferes. Something that can blend all the opposites and bring them together. As the Razal tells, the Gemara says on a pasuk we say every day in davening, lefashu v'gedula v'gevura v'tiferes. Tiferes, the Gemara says, refers to matan Torah. Tiferes is Torah. And that's why it has the ability to combine these two opposite modes of rotzui and shuv. meaning to say that even these very, very great and high energies should be able to come down and reveal themselves in the Kalim. And based on this, once you have that the Oiris are settled in Kalim, not like we said before, if the Oiris are out of the Kalim, if a person is just having this great passion and it ends up nowhere, it can go to the negative places. But when you bring down the Oiris in the proper Kalim, now there is no room anymore for the Yemnikas Achintzoyim, for any of the Klipois to get sustenance, and to have a situation the opposite of purity, because now these great Oiris, which, as we said, that's really what the Negoyim are all about, that's what the root is, are now coming down where they're supposed to, down into the Kalim, and in that way, the Metzoyra is pure. Just summarize again the main points that we spoke over here about the Metzoyra and what it represents, because it's going to be very relevant to understand the continuation of the Sikha, the whole concept of Golus and Gula. So what the Rebbe was saying is, on the one end, we're speaking about a very, very high oir. But if it's just the high oir and it doesn't go anywhere, something negative could come out of it. And that's what happens by the Metzoyra. We're saying on the one hand, it's a high oir, but it comes out of something negative. How are you going to fix it up? Toira sa Metzoyra. You get to a level that's higher than Ishtarshos. You get to the level of Toira. It has the ability to bring down these high oiris, these high passions and energies, and bring them down to the place where they're meant to be, so there shouldn't be any negativity. Says the Rebbe in Siv Zayin, now we can understand regarding the whole concept of Golus and Gula, which we said before. The Metzoyra represents the idea of Golus, and the purity of the Metzoyra is the idea of Gula. Golus, on the one hand, is all about a hell in the Hester, a concealment of the godly light. As the Pasuk says, we don't see miracles and wonders, etc. Furthermore, it's a great darkness, especially the extra double and redouble darkness of the end of Golus. But where is it coming from? Again, from a very, very high source, like the idea of these great oirs, these great lights and energies that are too high, they're higher than Kalim. They're completely higher than Revelation. So we say, that we can't see it, but it's dafkin because it's so high and so great. As the Pasuk says, Yashis Choshech Sisri, the Avishter is hiding, so to speak, in the darkness, but it's a darkness that's greater than light. However, because of it's so high and so great that it's higher in Revelation, down here in this world it translates itself as a darkness in the literal sense, and all the negative things of Golus come out of it. However, since in its root, in essence, really, it's what's really happening at the time of Golus, is that there's a light that's greater than any sort of Gilui. It's such a high oir that cannot be revealed. So therefore, even when it ends up coming down into something negative, in a darkness in the literal sense, to things that are the opposite of purity, etc., we must always realize that is only external. Like the Metzoyra we said, it's only on the lowest and the most distant and external level. It's only a tash. Really, in essence, what's going on, it remains always pure, holy, and good, etc. And therefore, just like we said by the Metzoyra, that it's really about revealing that in essence it's good, and that the source of it is light and good, in a similar way over here, through our actions that are void in the time of Golos, what are we doing? It's not that we are suddenly bringing in a whole new idea into the world, the idea of Gola. Rather, it's about revealing what the Golus was really all about, as to be understood also from the fact that what are we doing? It's not about negating the Golus. It's about transforming the Golus into the Gula, as the famous concept that it's about bringing the Aleph, which represents the Eibishter, Alufei Shalolim, the boss of the world, bringing the Eibishter into Goyle, which is the Golus. And that way, transforming the goyle of the goyles into gula. So in other words, we're taking and we're revealing that these oiris, that these energies are really something so high and so great. And through our avoid of the time of goyles, we are now causing that these oiris, these energies, these lights that are their own, are so high that could not be revealed. Yet through our avoid, we are bringing it down into this world. And in that way, just like by the Metzoyra, once you manage to bring these high oiris into the Kalim, down to this world, there's no rule anymore. There's no chance anymore for any concealments, for any darkness, for any sorts of negativity, even in an external way. The Rebbe explained via Shloima, we could say, that the special advantage of our actions in Avodah in the time of Golos that brings about that these great Oyrim should be able to become revealed down here in this world comes specifically because of the Bitul and the Mesiras Nefesh, which is primarily in the time of Golos. And through the Bitul and the Mesiras Nefesh that comes from the Yechidah of the Yid, which is connected to the Eibishter, to the Yachid, to the one and only, the way the Eibishter is higher than all of Seder Ishtashalus. And it is Dafka because of this deep level of the Yechidah, the Mesiras Nefesh, and so on, the Bitul, that is what could combine even these opposites of Ratzi Veshuv, that even these highest Oirois could come down into Kalim. Says the Rebbe in Siv Ches, now we can understand the connection between Parshiyas Tazria and Mitzoyro, which we said before, one represents Golos, one represents Gula. In fact, in the opposite order, we said in the names at least, Tazria seems like Gula and Mitzoyro is Golos. We spoke about the idea also that seemingly a parsha of Tazria, which is seemingly about Gula, and yet most of the parsha speaks about Negoi, which is Golos. And the way they become purified in Parshas Mitzoyro, how does this all work together? So the Rebbe explains, since the Gula is not something separate and distinct from the Golos, rather it's about revealing what the real union of the Golos was all about. Similar to the Mitzoyro that we said, it's about revealing what the real idea of that saras, of that spot, was all about. So therefore, the system and the names of the parshias, what's happening over here is, and the beginning of the parshias, is after we have a general introduction for both parshias, starting off with the words, Isha kisazmi aviyodazor. This pasuk tells us about the general avoido of what's happening in Golos. That we have a situation of Tazria, we're planting, we're sowing, and that our Avodah brings about, V'yoda Zohar brings about the ultimate Gula, after which there is no Golos. After all of this, after this general introduction, comes the details of the Parshas. So first of all, we have a Parshas Tazria, which Tazria we really said, Tazria means Gula. But what are we speaking about? We're speaking about the Negoim, about the Tzoras, about the Golos. Why is that? Because as we just said, even the parsha of Geula of Tazria, how could it speak about Saras? Because Saras itself really is such high great Oiros. And as we explained, that even once it comes down, it's only remains something very external by the person. And the whole idea is that these great Oiros will be revealed down here by the Geula. We'll see how really amazing these Oiros were. Then in Parshas Mitzoyro, which is a parsha technically about Golos, that's what Mitzoyro is. And yet, what's the whole parsha speaking about? The Mitzoyro becoming pure, in other words, the idea of Gula. Because, as we explained, the way the Tzaras is going to become pure is by revealing what it was really all about in the context of Golos and Gula. It's revealing what was really going on in the Golos. It's really about the Gula. So in other words, the whole idea of Gula is really the idea of Mitzoyro, but in the positive sense of the Mitzoyro, the high level that the Mitzoyro is. And further, it's in such a way that now there is no ability even for anything negative, because as we said, all of these greatest Oiros are being revealed and coming down into this world, and that's what we'd have the everlasting Gula, after which there is no Golos, the concept of the old Zohar. The Rebbe says we could connect all of this also with the beginning of the parsha that we're about to read in Mincha of the Shabbos, which is Parshas Acharei Kedoshim. So Parshas Acharei, in which we have the command, the prohibition, that there shouldn't be a rotzui without a shub, there shouldn't be this idea of a klois ha-nefesh of the neshama leaving the body, as it was by the two sons of Aaron that got a bit too close to Hashem and they passed away. Instead, the Parsha tells us there needs to be Rotzui and Shuv together at Dafka, both of them. In other words, you have a Neshama that on the one hand wants to go up higher and higher, but it needs to remain in the Guf. Now, the goof on its own is the one that wants to go down and remain down. That's the idea of shuv. But it's about combining these two energies together, the rotzui and the shuv, the neshama and the body. And in fact, of course, the ultimate everlasting life, the way it's going to be, la'asid lavoi, well, we're going to have eternal life. And the Rebbe immediately adds in the brackets over here, in the parentheses, and in our generation, this is, of course, without any interruption in between, going straight from life in this world, straight into the eternal life of Mashiach. And specifically, physical life in a physical body. And as it says, that la'asid lavoi, in fact, the neshama is going to get its sustenance from the guf. And this is, of course, the idea of combining the rotzi and the shuv, that yearning from the neshama, together with the shuv of the body, the same idea that we spoke before, these great oirois coming down into the keli. Just want to point out over here one ha'ara, one footnote, regarding this that the Rebbe says, that in our generation we move on straight from the life in this world into the eternal life of the gula. We know there is a concept that it says, El offer toshuv, that a person needs to return to dust. But the Rebbe says over here in Ha'orah 58, that this specific union of El offer toshuv could be accomplished in a spiritual way through the idea of the nafshi ka'ofor la'kortiya, by being as humble as the dust. And therefore, it doesn't necessarily need to be in a gashmiyus way. Continuing the sicha now, the Rebbe says, how does this happen that we have the neshama and the guf, the rotzi and the shuv coming together, which is what Parshas Acharei is telling us? That comes because of a level that's higher than both together, and that's represented by Parshas Kedoshim. What does Parshas Kedoshim tell us and give us the koyach to do? Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshani, you should be holy, David just says to us, because I'm holy. What is that telling us? That as Yidden are in a physical world, in a place where we need to be warned to be holy, and as it's explained, what does holy mean? To be separated. We need to be warned to be separated from the gashmiyistic things of the world. Yet, the Yid remains pure and holy, and the greatest holiness, similar to the holiness of the Eibishter, as the Chazal tell us, Yochol Kamoini, Talmud Loimarki Kodeshani. Interesting. Often the way we understand those words meaning, as it's in a way of a question, Yochol Kamoini, you might think you could be as holy as me. Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Ki Kodeshani, I am holy, implying you can't be the same level of holiness as me. But Chassidus translates it, Yochol Kamoini, as a statement, not as a question. Yochol Kamoini. Every single Yid could kavayochol, so to speak, be on the same level of Kedusha as Hashem. Says the Rebbe, this is all even more emphasized in the name of Mashiach. This idea that we were speaking about is even more emphasized in the name of Mashiach. How is that? Mashiach is the Goyel, the Redeemer of the Eden. And yet, what are we calling him? We're calling him Mitzoyro. We said earlier in the Sichah that Rebbe quoted the Gemara, the Mitzoyro from the household of Rebbe. And the Gemara that speaks about Mashiach sitting amongst the poor people that are suffering, that have saras, and so does he. So what are we saying over there? Mashiach, in other words, is in the world, in a place of Golos, in a state of Golos, in a situation of Golos, suffering all the problems of Golos, as the Gemara goes on to say. Omar Rav, Rav says, in Menchayahu, if Mashiach is from those people that are alive, then who is it? It's Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It is the author of the Mishnah Rebbe. Why is it Rabbeinu HaKadosh? So Rashi explains, because he was someone that suffered tremendously, the Chassid Gor Ava, and he was an absolute Chassid, a pious person. So what is Mashiach doing? He's in the state of Golos. He's waiting, anticipating impatiently to be able to reveal himself in this concealment of Golos, to be able to reveal himself as Melech HaMashiach, redeeming the Yidden B'Gula HaMitzvah HaShleimu, with a complete Gula, after which there is no Golos. As the Rambam paskins, Yamoid Melech MiBeis David, a king will get up from the house of David, etc., etc. I think it's important over here to look at a few of the footnotes, a few of the Ha'aris. So first of all, number 66, in the Sikha itself, the Rebbe's brought the Gemara about if Moshiachas were those that are alive today. So the Rebbe says that the Rambam paskins v'imiyavoyt melech mi'beis David. So clearly we're speaking about someone that is already a king. And this is the person that's now going to come as Moshiach. In Aura 67, very, very interesting Aura, very interesting footnote. When it says over here that certainly this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So the Rebbe brings a famous Gemara that says that the Vei Rab Shiloi Amri, in the yeshiva of Rab Shiloi, they said, Shiloi Shvoi, the name of Moshiach is Shiloi. And they brought a pasuk, Ach Ki Yavoi Shiloi. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Yanai, they said, Yinoi Shvoi. Rashi says that Yinon is like Yanai. And Rashi says, Kol Echad Hoya Doirish Achar Shmoi. And in the footnote, on the footnote, in the asterisk on the bottom of the star, the Rebbe says, an interesting thing, that Kol Echad Hoya Doirish Achar Shmoi doesn't say that the Talmidim came up with this idea that Moshiach's name is like the Rebbe's name, but rather that the Rebbe himself would darshan and speak about that the name of Moshiach is like his own name. And the Rebbe goes on at the footnote in 67, bringing the pasuk about why Moshiach's name is Yana Yurinoin, a pasuk Yishuai left Elohim of Eshemish Yinoin Shuai. Then the Gemara goes on to speak about in the yeshiva of Rabbi Hanina, they said Hanina was his name. Forget a pasuk is brought. The Yesh Oimrim Menachem ben Chizki Yishuai. Some say his name is Menachem ben Chizki. And again in the footnote, on the footnote, the Rebbe brings a version where it just says Menachem Shuai. And again, a pasuk is brought, Ki rochak nimeni menachem meshiv nafshi. So there's all these different yeshivas, each one saying and explaining how the name of the Rebbe is connected with Moshiach. And the Rebbe then goes on and says, brings from his father, from Lakutei Levi Yitzchok, how really all of these opinions are elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim, how all of these opinions are true. It's not like it's one or the other, but rather there's an inyan and Moshiach that's related to each one of these aspects of these different names, etc. And then the Rebbe concludes this footnote and says, "Ba'anan chasidim and we chasidim, we follow their example, the example that's brought in the Gemara regarding our Rabbein, and specifically regarding Kvoid Kedushas Moyi V'chomi Admur Nesidoi Reino." And the Rebbe goes on to explain the names of the three Nikar Rebbe, how they are all connected to the Gula. And the Rebbe says, Yosef Shoyde, the name of Mashiach is Yosef, as in the Pasuk. Yosef Adneshenis Yadi Vasav Nitche Yisrael. And also Yitzchok Shloi, as in the Pasuk, Azimalei Tzchoik Pinu. Still in the footnotes, on this idea that we're saying that Mashiach is suffering the pain of ghosts. The Rebbe brings a very famous Gemara as well, in the story that was mentioned before with Rabbi Yeshua Belevi asking Eliyahu Hanavi where he could find Moshiach, and he told him amongst the poor people, those with tzaras, etc. So the Gemara brings over there that Moshiach, that he was meeting at the gates of Rome, etc. So the siman for him, in different, how he was different to all the other poor people that were suffering, is that the way he would take care of his bandages was undoing one and then redoing it, the bandage, and then dealing with the next bandage, etc., etc., rather than dealing with all of his wounds and undoing all the bandages at one time. The reason is, the Gemara says, and Rashi explains, is because he's waiting so impatiently to take the Yidden to the Gula that he doesn't want to hesitate. He doesn't want to have to take the time as much as it would take to bandage two bandages at a time. This is just another Gemara showing us this idea of how impatiently Moshiach is waiting to take the Yidden at Golos. Says the Rebbe in Ziftes, all of this is connected to the second Pesuk in Pirkei Avos that we learned this Shabbos, which starts off with the words, Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe says, Eze Derech Yishara, what is this straightforward path? Sheyover lo yodim, that a person should choose for himself, Koil shein teferes lo yisa, anything that is beautiful, For the one who does it, but the fairest loyman adam, and beautiful also as far as other people are concerned. What's the connection to what we were speaking about? So the Rebbe says, we'll understand this by first examining our Mishnah closely. First of all, what does it mean, Ezi Derech Yishara? What is the straight path? We have a clear pasuk, Yishorin Darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem, those are the straight paths for a Yid. Second of all, we use the expression Sheyover Loi Ha'odo. Now, earlier on in the Sikha, when we were speaking about the idea of Mitzvah, we quoted from the Alter Rebbe, Lekutei Torah, that the word Adam represents someone that's already on a very, very high level, on a perfect level. So a question is, why over here is the term Adam being used? What is the straight path that an Adam should choose for himself? Finally, point number three, the connection to the one who said it, Rebbe Omer, which is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the author of the Mishnah. Why is it that he's referred to over here as Rebbe, rather than as Rabbi Yehuda HaNosi, as he's mentioned and called in the very, very next Mishnah? Why is he called over here just playing by the name Rebbe? So the Rebbe is explaining the Mishnah now in the context of his Galus and Bias HaMashiach. And this is what the Rebbe is explaining, how the Rebbe explains the Mishnah. Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he is the one who we said before about, if Mashiach's from those that are alive today, surely this is Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because of the amount of suffering that he's having and what kind of pious person he is. So even though he's a complete chassid, he finished his avodah, and yet he's suffering the sufferings and pain of ghosts, and like Mashiach. And as we said before, what's Mashiach called? The Metzoira from the house of Rebbe. That is, that Mashiach, even though he's so perfect, yet he's suffering all the problems of the ghosts. What is Rebbe saying? What is the straight path that a person should choose? So this is the way it's explained. Ha'adam, we said before, means a person that's perfect already. So he did all of his actions, he refined everything he had to refine, and lying by the Metzoyer, there's just a little bit, something remaining, very external, that needs to be taken care of. How is that? Because at the end of the day, we're still in Golos. Because of the idea of Golos, that's like Rebbe. So Rebbe is a perfect person, but because of Golos, there's still something in the world that needs to be taken care of. The Rebbe says, in our generation, be that we are the last generation in Golos, the very end of Golos, Ikvus of the Mashiach, when everything has been completed already that has to be done in the time of Golos. So the Rebbe says, now all the Yidden are on this Dharma. Basically, the Avodah has been complete. Everything is perfect already. If that's the question of our Mishnah is, since everything of the time of Golos has been completed, what is the Derech HaYishara? What is that perfect, straight way, the easiest way from amongst all the other Inyanim and Torah, that a person, again in this context, means that all of Bnei Yisrael, someone that finished already all matters of Avodah, what do we need to do now to bring about the revelation and coming of Mashiach? Interesting, just to note, in Ha'orah 74, the Rebbe says, first of all, this starts with revealing the Mashiach inside of each and every one of us. So it's a double question. How do we reveal the Mashiach inside of us, as well as, of course, the general Mashiach for Klal Yisrael? And the answer the Mishnah is, Kol Shi Tiferes Lo Yisrael, V'Tiferes Lo Yimnodah. What does this mean? Tiferes, we said before, already is Torah. Because of the greatness of Torah, we said before, it has the power to combine the two opposites of Rotzi and Shuv. Rotzi is about getting closer and closer and closer to the Eibishter. And that's what we would call Tiferes Lo Yisrael. It is beautiful for the man who's doing it. He's in a state, in a situation where he's getting closer to the Eibishter, what can be more beautiful than that? But at the same time, there is a shul. There's also coming into the world. That's why it's the fairest light in Adam. It's also beautiful as far as the world is concerned. It's the same idea that we said before, the oirois coming into the Kalim. And in that way, that's the way we reveal what the Golos was really all about, these great oirois of the Golos. And we said before that once we reveal what it's all about and we can bring these oiris into the kalim, now there's no room for golos at all anymore. So we have the geula after which there is no golos. To clarify a little bit more the reason why Torah, Tiferes, is the straightforward path to bring about the revelation and coming of Mashiach. We can understand this based on what's known that in Mashiach himself, we know there's two aspects. There's the Melech aspect, he's called Melech HaMashiach, and he's also a Rav, so he's a king and a teacher. He's going to teach all the Yidden Torah, the differences. The Melech aspect of Mashiach represents what Mashiach gives us in a way, what's called in a way of makiv, it's something so high and so great. The way we receive it is through Kabbalah soil. We accept his malchus, we accept his kingdom, and we accept all of these high, great nyanim that he's giving us. What does a teacher mean? A teacher means when you're giving over something, but pnimi is something that he can accept and absorb in an internal way, to the extent that we say that one who teaches somebody else Torah, it's as if he gave birth to it. Combining these two things together, the melech, the king, and the rav, the makif and the pnimi, represents the same point that we were speaking about, taking these very, very great oirois, something that's so high that remains only makif, surrounding on the outside, and yet they should come down in a pnimiistic way, in an internal way, into the kelim, and all of this happens, as we said before, through what? Through the inyan of Tiferes, through the inyan of Torah. Says the Rebbe, we could connect this also to the whole idea of Chodesh Iyar. Chodesh Iyar is the second month. It's the month when we start doing the Avodah Milmata L'mayla, going upwards from below. In Chodesh Nisan, we had a Gilui revelation from above, great Nisim happening to the Yidden. Nisim. The Eibishter himself revealing himself to the Yidden and taking them out of Gaulis. It's a Chodesh of Gula. It's a Gula going out of all limitations. Iyar, on the other hand, is our work going upwards. Says the Rebbe, when we have Nisan and Iyar coming one after the other, this emphasizes again the connection between these two sorts of modes. On the one hand, we have the great Oyroids of Chodesh Nisan, and yet they come into a Pnimis, into the Kalim in Chodesh Iyar because of the Avoid of the Yid going Mulmato Lailo. And the koyak to combine both of these things together, once again, is because we're going to a level that's higher than both of them. And the Rebbe says, this is emphasized in the sphere of Beis Iyar. This is sort of the bridge going over from the days of Nisan, from Rosh Chodesh, and now going into the specific days of Chodesh Iyar. So the first day is Beis Iyar. What's Beis Iyar? The sphere of Tiferes, Shebet Tiferes. It's through the sphere of Tiferes, as we explained before, Tiferes is a combination, because it comes from such a high level, it could combine the two opposites of Rotsui and Shuv, the great Oirus, into the Kalin, and this is accomplished through the days of Beis Iyar, which is not only Tiferes, but Tiferes, Shebet Tiferes. As the Rebbe points out in footnote number 81, it's even more emphasized by the fact that Beis Iyar is, of course, the Yehuledis of the Rebbe Maharash, which had the attitude of Lechatchila Ariber. He's the one that gave us the koyach to have Lechatchila Ariber. And here again, the Rebbe explains it's sort of the same idea, that on the one hand, we're down here in this world, Kalin, but yet we're going higher than the limitations of Lechatchila Ariber. The Rebbe continues in the Sikha. Since all of the great Giluim of Chodesh Nisan, of Chodesh of Gula, are coming down through Avodah Sodom, in other words, it's not just remaining somewhere up there, but it's coming into the Kalim through the Avodah of the person, that negates any possibility of Golos, and therefore we have the Gula Nitzchus, the everlasting Gula, after which there is no Golos. Furthermore, here we know as Rosh Tevis Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Rahul, which it says in Sfarim, they represent the four legs of the Merkava of the chariot. What's the idea? The Avos Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, three of the legs of the Merkava, they are Chesed, Gvura, and Teferes. It's explained in many places that represents the concept of Oyer, of the Mashpia. That's the levels of Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, is a great Oyer coming down. Rochel, on the other hand, which represents the idea of Malchus, Knesset Yisroel, etc., the fourth leg of the Merkava, which brings the completion of the Merkava, represents the Kelim, the recipient. Again, putting the two together in the Rosh Tevis of Iyar, we have both Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, which are the idea of the Mashpia, the Oyer, as well as the Makabel, Malchus, the Kelim, again represents, putting these two things together, the great Oyerist, along with the Kelim. The Rebbe says we could add that Rachel specifically represents the tremendous milo, the tremendous advantage that comes because of all of our avoided the time of Golos to bring Gola. We know the famous pasuk, Rachel mevako al bonea. Rachel is crying for her children. Ki einenu. Now, what does this word ki einenu mean? Einenu means seemingly it's speaking about the children because they are not around. But einenu is a singular. So it says in the Zohar that it's referring to the Eibishter, because the Eibishter, Kavayachol, has removed himself in the time of Golos, and he's higher and higher and cannot be found. But through Rachel's crying in the time of Golos, which really represents the avoid of all need, Rachel represents Knesset Yisroel. That brings the Gula, as the Pasuk says, Yesh Sachar Lepul Laseich, V'shavu Bonu L'Gvulam, that because of Rachel's avoidah, and so too because of the Yidin's avoidah, this brings the reward, this brings the Gula, so that these great Oiros, the way Hashem is higher and higher, and so removed, which is really what's happening in Gulas, it's a very great Oir, but it's just too high to be revealed, and now they are going to be drawn down into this world, which will make sure that there shouldn't be any room anymore for Yenikas Achintzoyim, for any klipois to have any shaykhus, any connection. As in the pasuk, Rachel lefnei goizazeho ne'alomo, which literally means Rachel is a sheep. Before the shearers are cutting off its wool, it stays silent over there. Rachel can also be understood as Rachel imenu, and as Knesset Yisroel and as Malchus, which in Chassidus and Kabbalah explains, this is the idea that Malchus is, there are certain, the klipos are sort of taking from the hairs, from the wool, so to speak, from Malchus, taking from those koichas of Malchus and feeding off it. So that's our idea of Golos. But as we just explained, once we have the oirois, the great oirois, coming down into the kelim, this negates the ability for any of these klipos and the ability to be anything that's not pure. The time of Golos, the idea of Negoyin, and on the contrary, we have the Geula, after which there is no Golos. The Rebbe now goes ahead and Sif Yud Aleph and connects this with a specific day in Sfiras HaOmer that the Rebbe was saying in the Sikha, which is the day of Malchus Shem B'Tiferes. But first, the Rebbe prefaces by saying the following. In Sfiras HaOmer, we go from Chesed Sheba Chesed to Malchus Sheba Malchus. So this obviously includes all matters of Avodah, which we called before Ma'aseinu V'Avodah Seinu, all of our Avodah in the time of Golos. When we say all of the Avodah, both in regards to the person's own nefesh, and as we say in the Tefillah, in Sfiras HaOmer, we say it's about L'sakein Es Nafsh Seinu, to fix up our souls, V'Ruchli Seinu V'Nishmei Seinu, to purify us, to make us holy, but also impacting the whole world. As we say in the same Ribbono Shel Olam, we say, Yushpa Shefarav, it should bring down a great abundance of energy, etc. B'chol Olam. So, of course, when we have our Avodah perfect, we are doing our Avodah, fixing up both ourselves and the rest of the world, that, of course, brings about the Geula HaMitzvah V'Hashleima, the ultimate Geula after which there is no Golos. And as we say in Sfiras HaOmer, HaRachamon, Yachzur lanu Avodah as Beis HaMikdash, they will bring back the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash to its place, B'mheira V'yaminu Amin Selam. Says the Rebbe, more specifically, there's an advantage in the way Pesach has fallen out this year. When Pesach has fallen out on Shabbos, and therefore Sfira, meaning Macharas HaShabbos, the day following Shabbos, which usually we translate it as the day following the first day of Pesach, but here it's also in the literal sense. We start on Moitzoy Shabbos on Sunday. So then, the weeks are also considered complete weeks in the order of the week, because we start every week of Sfira on a Sunday, finishing on Shabbos. So in that way, looking at the Sfirois, every week finishes with Malchus. First Shabbos is going to be Malchus Sheba Chesed, then Malchus Sheba Gevurah, the next Malchus Sheba Teferes, etc. Now, Shabbos, of course, is connected to the idea of Geula. We call Shabbos, is representing the Yom Shekuloi Shabbos of Menucha L'chai Yoylamin. It's symbolic of the ultimate Shabbos that's going to be when Mashiach comes. If that's the case, we understand that the idea of the Geula of Shabbos is even more emphasized when we have the idea of Malchus in Shabbos. Because Malchus, of course, refers to the Malchus of Beis David, Moshiach's Malchus, which is going to be coming out perfectly, completely, when Moshiach comes. And then the Malchus of the Eimishter will be revealed to the whole world, as the Pasuk says, V'hoysul Hashem Amlucho V'hoy Hashem L'melech Al Kol Haaretz. To explain this further, Malchus, in the context of Geula, which is Melech HaMashiach, represents the strength of the idea of Geula. Malchus represents strength without any sort of hindrances, blockages, etc. As the Chazal say, Omar Malka Okarturav, the king says that a mountain gets uprooted. There's a special strength in a Melech. That means even the greatest opposition on a mountain will be removed through the Melech. On a deeper level, since the vitality, the whole existence of all the people in the country and all matters of the country are all dependent on the Melech, it's understood that in truth nothing could really oppose the Melech, because the whole Metzias, the whole existence of the opposition, even though externally seems like an opponent, but he's really himself dependent completely on the king. In a similar way regarding the union of Geula, the idea of Malchus of Melech HaMashiach emphasizes that really, there's nothing in the world in Golas that could really, really oppose the union of Geula. Because the whole idea of the world is dependent on the Geula and the idea of Malchus. And the Gemara says, the whole world was created for Mashiach. So nothing could really be in opposition to Mashiach. And therefore, any opposition of the world, of the Golas to the Geula, is really only external. And the way to nullify it is, as we explained before, to reveal what it's really all about. That it's all really about the union of Malchus, the union of Mashiach, etc. Now, if Malchus is Mashiach, within the revelation of Malchus itself, the Malchus of the Eibishter through Melech HaMashiach, within this itself, there could be a number of different ways. There's Malchus as it is in each one of the seven meters. There's Malchus Shemachesed, Malchus Shemagvura, Malchus Sheba Teferes, Malchus Sheba Netzach, Malchus Sheba Hoy, Malchus Sheba Yisoy, and of course Malchus Sheba Malchus. So now let's have a look at what Rebbe says. Rebbe says, what's the Derech HaYishor to bring Mashiach, as we explained this Mishnah before? We understand now what the idea and the special union of Malchus of this week, of Malchus Sheba Teferes, which the Rebbe will soon go on to explain more what that means. Furthermore, we don't even have to wait for the continuation of the other Shambosim of Sfiras Omer, because really, once you have Malchus Shem Tiferes, we said before, the Derech HaYishoro, the straight path, is called Shi Tiferes. Now Tiferes, Sidis explains that like the Briach HaTichoy, the middle pole in the Mishkan that went from one extreme, from one end, all the way to the other. In Chassidus, this is explained as Tiferes, going from the highest level, reaching down to the lowest level. So once you have the union of Malchus Shebet Tiferes, once you have the Tiferes aspect, really that automatically brings about the revelation of all the other ideas of Malchus as well. As in the Malchus that's from Netzach, which would represent the victory of the king over all matters of the world that are concealing over Mashiach in a chitzoniyizik way. It brings about the Malchus Shabbahoy, meaning the glory, the beauty of the king, as we're supposed to see a king in his full glory and beauty. Malchus Shabbi Yisoyed, meaning Yisoyed in the sense of foundation, that the Malchus of Mashiach is in a very, very strong and permanent way. And Malchus Shabbah Malchus, the Gili, of, as we say, Malchus Cha Malchus Kol Eilamim, the greatest, deepest level of Malchus of Hashem, the way it's higher than the Tzimtzul, the way it's connected to Keser, is revealed into all of the worlds. And in a way of Malchus, see, this explains the difference between Malchus and Memsholo. Malchus kingship is Malchusoi Beratzoin Kiblu Aleim, when we accept them, when the world is accepting Hashem willingly, as opposed to Memsholo, which is in a way against someone's will. So we have, again, just to summarize the point that Rebbe is saying, is once we have Malchus Shebet Tiferes, really, automatically, it brings about all the other aspects of Malchus as well. Practically speaking, what does this all mean? Says the Rebbe in Sifud Beis. To explain the Derech Yishara, the straight path, to bring it about the revelation of the coming of Mashiach through Malchus Shebet Tiferes. Practically, What this means is as follows. But by first prefacing, since Moshiach Tzidkenu is about to come immediately, but practically didn't come yet, therefore we need to have that last little bit of effort, like Soifu Levusha, like by the Metzorah we said, the edge of the garments of each and every year to bring Moshiach. There needs to be the pula, the activities that we need to do is not Malchus itself, pure Malchus, which that's Moshiach himself. We need to have Malchus Shem B'Tiferes, meaning to say, we said Malchus is Moshiach, Tiferes is Torah. So what does Malchus Shem B'Tiferes mean? Moshiach as he is in Torah. As we said before, that through Torah, which that's one of the Inyanim of Moshiach, he said he's a rabbi, teaches Torah. Through Torah we bring about these great Oiris of the Geula, the idea of Moshiach as a Melech, and bringing it down in a Pnimiyazdik way. Simply what this means is, if Tiferes is Limud HaTorah, Malchus we said is Moshiach, so Malchus Shebet Tiferes would mean learning Torah in matters of Melech HaMoshiach and in matters of Gula, which these things are explained in many, many places. And the Rebbe very kindly helps us in Ha'or 110. The Rebbe tells us how to find them also. The Rebbe says these days it's very, very easy. We have so many books, Sifrei HaMafteches, books of indexes, in our generation, you just look it up in the order of the Aleph base. And the Rebbe, in his kindness, goes even further. He tells us where to look. Look under the entries of Geula and Mashiach, etc. And the Rebbe in the Sicha further points out exactly where we need to look. First of all, in Titus HaMiksah, to use the words of the Rambam, specifically in the words of the Nevi'im, which the Rambam says, Kol HaSvarim, all the Svarim are filled with the matter of Mashiach. Learning Titus HaBalpeh, Gemara, specifically Masech the Sanhedrin and Masech the Soita, and Masech the Soita. Medrashim, the Rebbe says. More specifically, Pnimiyus HaTorah, starting with Sefer HaZoyer, as it says that with the Sefer HaZoyer, we're going to go out of the Golos with Rachamim. More specifically, Torah HaChassidus, we know that the Moshiach is going to come, Moshiach Futsu, Ma'asech and Chutzu, that's when Moshiach comes, in the Torah of our Rabbein. And now the Rebbe says, and specifically, the Torah, the Maimorim, and Lekutei Sichas of Nisi Doireinu, all of this as a preparation. And similar to learning the Torah of Moshiach, the Torah Chadasha, the new dimensions of Torah that are going to be revealed when Moshiach comes, the Moshiach is going to be teaching all of the Yidden, Pnimiyus HaTorah, the secrets of the Torah, the reasons of the Torah, Yedias Elokus, knowledge and godliness, Das Elokei Avicho, and the Rambam Paschal that at that time, Yidden will be great chachamim and know all the secrets and know the knowledge of the Creator, etc. Says the Rebbe, adding in Limud HaTorah and matters of Moshiach and Geula, which we just said that what Malchus Shebet Tiferes means, this is the Derech Ishara, this is the straightest path to bring about the revelation of the coming of Moshiach and Geula, B'Poyel Mamash. Says the Rebbe, see if you'd give the Al Shel Poyel Bossi, that I want to bring this down all practically down to earth. And surely this will be publicized and spoken about in every single place in order to bring about the Hizgalos, the revelation, and the coming of Mashiach immediately. It is upon each and every Yid, both men, and this includes Yoishvei Oyel, those that sit and learn like Yisachar, and the businessmen like Zvon. So do women and children. Each person, according to their own level, needs to add in learning Torah specifically in matters of Moshiach and Geula. Better yet, it should actually be learned Barabim, Ba'asorah, with a minion. Because in addition to the advantage of always whenever 10 Yidden are sitting and learning Torah together, the Shechinah is there, there's a specific advantage when we're learning matters of Moshiach and Geula Barabim, as far as the excitement that's going on when you have a rabbi, many people learning together, the simcha, the joy and the feelings of the heart, which that, of course, will bring about a greater anticipation and yearning for the Geula and for Mashiach. And therefore, the Rebbe clarifies in 119, in footnote 119, therefore, even those that perhaps want to learn more in depth and in a way of shaklamataria, discussing it back and forth and coming up with chidushim in matter of the Mashiach and Geula, and for that, you might need to sit by yourself to be able to be relaxed and calm learning by yourself, or at most with a havrusa. So there's a certain advantage learning by yourself. Nevertheless, even they should try at times to participate in learning with a minyan, so that they too should have this mila of learning with 10 people. Says it ever further in the sikha, la'oivik, and most importantly, simply, of course, adding in the fulfillment of mitzvahs behidur, specifically the mitzvah tzedakah to be mahadir, as we know that tzedakah is the general of all the mitzvahs, tzedakah is makarevis asagulo, and the Rebbe says it's very appropriate to connect the addition in tzedakah with the addition of learning Torah and matters of Mashiach Gula. How do we do that? That when we are giving tzedakah, we should have kavanah to hasten the Gula. So this kavanah itself is part of learning about Gula, because you're learning in your thought from time to time the Maimer Chazal, G'doyla tzedakah, Shemekarevis Esar Gula. Concludes the Rebbe in Se'if Yudal, V'yehirot, that the Aflata and all of the above should hasten and bring immediately the ultimate purpose, these galus and bias amashiyah b'poil mamash take from the yad mamash. Simply speaking, that on this Shabbos Kodesh of Parsha Kishakis Azriya v'yolda Zofar and Zoyis Tiyah Torah Samatsoyda b'yim Torosi, even before we read the Torah in Mincha, that is, and especially before we learn the Pirkei Avos in Mincha, we should already have the Leida, the birth and the Izgalus of Mashiach Tzidkenu, which we called him before the Mitzoyra from the house of Rebbe, as he is beyond Tarasi when he becomes purified. That we are Zoycha to hear the Achroza, the announcement to the whole world and all of Sayyidin Shpalshos, that he neizeh, that we could point with our fingers and say, here is Mashiach, he neizeh Melech HaMashiach Bo, and here is Kvoit Kedushas Moyri V'chami Aramur Nesidu Reinu. Because, of course, we're going to have our kitzu v'ranan and shoich le'ofar. Those that are resting in the dust will get up and sing, etc. And tzaddikim are going to have tchias amesim immediately. And all of our rabbeim, and all the tzaddikim, and all the nesiyei Yisrael, along with Moshe and Aaron, together with all the bnei Yisrael, with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters. As the pasuk says, I'm going to gather all the yidden together, from Asher and from Mitzrayim and from the islands. We're going to come with the clouds of heaven to our holy land, Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, which is a base tefilo yikari l'chol ha'amim, a place where all nations are going to gather to come down, to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, as we're going to read in the Parsha by Minchem, Bezois Yovai Arin el HaKodesh, the Kohen Gadol goes into Yom Kippur, to the Kodesh HaKodoshim. And here the Rebbe says an amazing thing, that La'osid Lovi, not only Aroid, but each and every Yid, is going to be on the level of Koyanim Gedoylem, as the Eibishter calls us Mamleches Koyanim, and this means Koyanim Gedoylem. Every single year, not only on Yom Kippur, but any time we want to be able to go into Kodesh HaKadosh, we'll be able to. That all of this happens, but Poyol Mamish, down to earth, L'matam Asarat Fachin, in a way that we can already thank and make the bracha for the birth or revelation of Mashiach, the bracha of She'eyonu V'kimonu, and the Rebbe points out in Ara 135 that the word vihigiyonu, which literally means that Hashem made us reach this time, could also be translated from the word of Megia, that not only we could point, but we could mamish, even touch already the whole union of Washia and the Geula, all of this immediately.